Okay. Let's go ahead and get started. We're going to continue on with the lesson that we have started on last week, where we were coming into understanding in reference to the angel of the Lord. And in our review, as you look to the left of the screen, through the technology that we have, we use Genesis 16, Genesis 22, Genesis 24, and we finished on Exodus 3, verse 2, and so we'll start back again, and the topic that we're basically dealing with is the angel of the Lord. Is that Yah, or is it an actual angel? Well, all the scriptures leading up to Exodus 3 verse 2 has given us a strong impression that it is Yah. So we're just going to continue to let the scriptures interpret themselves, and then we'll come to the conclusion on that, on the matter. Let's pray. Father Yah, we bless your name on today. We just thank you for just another opportunity to get into your presence. We seek wisdom and understanding. We thank you for who you are in our lives on a daily basis. And we just love you with all our heart and soul. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. Amen. Exodus 3, verse 2. Exodus 3, verse 2. I got Exodus 2. Exodus 3, verse 2. We'll just start at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of Yah, even to Horeb. And the angel of Yah appeared unto him in," now when we look at it here, "in," as we were stressing as we left off on this, it says, "in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush." Okay? So we know that this angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And it says, "And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed." Verse 3 said, "Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt." Now, here's the verse that connects the angel of the angel and Yah. Verse 4 says, "And when Yah saw that he turned aside to see, Yah called unto him out of the midst." Now, where does it say the angel of the Lord is in verse 2? "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst," so a midst of the bush. So when you look at verse 4, it says, "And when Yah saw that he turned aside," Moses turned aside to see, "Yah called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I." So we see, so we have to come to a conclusion here. Either Yah and the angel is in the midst of the bush, or this angel of the Lord is one and the same as Yah Almighty. I can't remember if I said this last week, but if not, I'm going to say it now. What we have to do is to realize that we can't put Yah in a box or a certain classification. And so when you look at an angel, from the Hebrew meaning, it means malach, which means root means a dispatch as a duty, a messenger. It says a messenger. Then it says specifically of Yah. It says an angel, also a prophet. So I can be an angel of Yah. Okay. a prophet, priest, or a teacher. I can be an angel of Yah. Elder can be an angel of Yah. Anyone who is a messenger can be an angel of Yah. But what we fail to realize is that Yah could be a messenger also. And so when it describes him, just like I believe El Shaddai meaning breasted one or the one who supplies. And I'm going to do a quick search here just to make sure. I believe I spelled it correctly. Nope, not El Shaddai. Help me, Elder, what's the spelling of El Shaddai?
S-H-A-D-D-A-I.
S-H-A-D-D-I. I said it that way. Maybe the L. Let me just put it, should I? No. S-H-A-D-D-A-I.
Yeah, that's how it's spelled. So
or maybe it's one word that may be what I may be why I wasn't sure. So when you find it, I'll just keep moving until you find it. And so when you look at El Shaddai, it is a name that identifies Yah in a certain act. Okay? In other words, El Shaddai is one of many ways that Yah is identified, but it's based upon what he's doing at that period of time. Okay? And so that has to be understood from a perspective of the angel of Yah, because we see that the angel of Yah is in the same place. He's in the midst of the bush. Well, as you look down here, verse 4, and when Yah saw that he had turned aside to see, Yah called unto him out of the midst of the bush, same place where the so-called angel from a perspective of religious understanding to try to separate the two in identifying him. And one of the biggest mistakes that the so-called, because I believe Yah has raised up the true church out of Babylon. One of the biggest mistakes that the so-called, you have it?
It's translated Almighty.
Okay.
Well, so the first reference to it is Genesis 17:1.
Okay.
But it's translated Almighty God.
Okay. Okay. So Genesis 17:1, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where it says Almighty God right here. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you read Almighty, it says Shaddai. Okay, and so when you see it referencing to El Shaddai, it means Almighty, all powerful. Maybe in another one that I was thinking about, but I thought that was another reference that said he's. It's like he's the breath whereby which we get our sustain.
Well, so it's saying that the root word of that means breath. So shad, I guess.
Okay.
Is the root word meaning. So that may be the literal translation.
Right. The literal translation of Almighty.
Right.
Or a translation of Almighty. We'll say it the way. So when you look at it, it says Yah Almighty. It means that He is all powerful in every area. Thus, a term that says many-breasted ones, meaning that when you look at it from a perspective of us being children or babies that need nourishment, that Yah is saying, "I'm the Almighty. I'm all the nourishment that you need. I'm full of the supply of my might. I'm not limited in my might." So. A certain facet of me is many-breasted one, meaning everyone can come and get nourishment from me. Okay? So when you look at it from that perspective, the Almighty or Yah Almighty is another name of the Most High Yah. Okay? Genesis 17, verse 1 said, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, Yah appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty. Well, when you look at Exodus 3, verse 2, he appears as the angel, the messenger of Yah. I am Yah, the Almighty. I am Yah, the messenger. I am come to give you instructions, to give you instructions by which you are to follow. So there are certain facets of Yah where, as he deal with us, he approaches us as the angel of the Almighty. He is the Almighty, but he's the messenger. He's the messenger of himself. Because one of the things that religion has done is made the presence. What religion has done is it has made the presence of Yah limited by saying that there are three in the Godhead. In other words, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because they can't wrap their mind around that Yah has so much to himself that when it's talking about the Spirit, it's talking about his breath. So in Acts chapter 2, a rushing mighty wind that filled the house, and they began to speak with other tongues. And Yah breathed in man's nostrils in Genesis 2, and man became a living soul. Well, when you look at that breathing, the wind, that is the breath of Yah, or the Spirit of Yah. That is Yah moving in another facet of himself without him having to be completely separated from himself in order to carry out the mission. The same way Yah breathed in man's nostrils and he became a living soul, the same way he breathed on Christ and Christ was full of his Spirit, the same way he breathed up on those 120 in Acts chapter 2, thus they begin to speak with other tongues. You get over in the 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration. God breathed by all scripture is given by the Spirit of Yah. That's what that means. God breathed is just another term that says spirit. The breath, the wind, all scripture is given by the Spirit of Yah. And it's possible for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. But again, what religion has done has taken Yah and broken him down to the point to where they're not able to recognize that he's God all by himself, full of power all by himself. He don't need no third Godhead or no second Godhead to make him almighty. He's almighty by himself. He don't need a Holy Spirit that's a third person sitting out there to give him power, because the power comes from the Almighty. That's why the Savior is not God himself. The Savior is the Son, and he has identified himself over and over in Scripture. Thus he said, I can do nothing of myself, because he is not all-powerful. Thus he hadn't stepped out of any kind of authority in order to become a servant, like people misrepresent that Scripture. But it points out how he was obedient to his Father in every facet of what the Father had said about him in his word. That's what was written. So he came and said, I come to fulfill every bit of the letter, the law, the prophet, the son. I didn't come to abolish it. I come to fulfill it. So we look at these different facets, for lack of a better way to express Yah. We look at these different facets of Yah, it's not saying that there's someone else out there that's just as powerful as he is that's doing that, because he's too limited as a God. Everybody is putting the Almighty on the same level with all the other gods. Thus they can't see him as a messenger. Thus they can't see him as the many-breasted one. Thus they can't see him as the Lord of hosts. So they think it's an angel. Yah said, I'm the Lord of the host. Okay? I'm the God of the host. So he appeared to us, by mankind, time and time over again. We're going to look at that again throughout Scripture. One pastor we left when he was dealing with Abraham. Okay? Yah, Genesis 17, when he appeared to him and he talked with Abraham and he told him what he would do. So Yah fellowship, when he got ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Yah came down with two angels, as we pointed out on last week, okay? So we'll move back and close this out. Elvis, did you have anything that you wanted to say in reference to Genesis 17, anything? Okay. Now, Exodus 3 again, verse 2, and the angel of Yah appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. Moses looked, and behold. And the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when Yah saw that he had turned aside to see, Yah called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. Yah said to him now, and he said, Draw not nigh hither, where? To this bush area. Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the Yah of thy father, the Yah of Abraham, the Yah of Isaac, and the Yah of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon Yah. So what he was seeing, he realized that was Yah himself. There was no angel. This is another identifying name to identify, in other words, the manifest or the reveal who Yah is. Yah can show up as a messenger. Okay? We'll move on here. Is there anything else? Let's read. There's some other things in here that will further confirm that Yah does encounter us quite a bit. And the reason why we're dealing with this lesson is because Yah is preparing us for encounters. That's what he's doing, okay? Verse 7 said, And Yah said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrow. And I am come down. So Yah is down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a large land. Unto a land formed with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. These nations are descendants of Ham. Okay? There's not anything else in there that I want to specifically deal with at the point, because we see that Yah is indeed come down. He is indeed in the midst of that bush. Okay? So let's continue to move on now. We'll go to Numbers 20, verse 16.
It can show the other side of the coin. If you look at Numbers 20-16, it doesn't say the angel of the Lord, but...
Yeah, it just said an angel and brought us forth out of Egypt, okay? And so when you look at it from this perspective, we want to identify that, okay? Verse 14 says... I'm trying to see where to start here. I just start at verse 14. And Moses sent messages from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that has befallen us, how our fathers went down into Egypt. And we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. And when we cried unto Yah, he heard our voice and sent an angel and has brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy borders. Now, it's just the angel here, but let's look at that from that perspective and see. When you look at that word angel here, it says the same definition. It could be a deputy, a messenger specifically of Yah, an angel, also a prophet, priest, a teacher, ambassador, angel, king, messenger. So, we're going to use our technology here. Now, when you look at verse 16, it takes us back to verse Exodus 2:23. So we're going to look at it here, Exodus 2:23. So when he's referring to verse 15, you can find what he's referring to in Exodus 2, Exodus 3, also Exodus 23 and 2, as you see as I got it highlighted here. Well, I have it on Exodus 2, verse 23, and we can read what it says now. And it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried. And that cry came up unto Yah by reason of the bondage. So what this reference is doing is letting you know that there is a connection to this angel and Yah Almighty himself. Okay? We move over again. You see the pop-up now. Exodus 3, verse 2. And we just leave that. Exodus 3, verse 2 says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. We're seeing as what we just dealt with, Exodus 3, verse 2, when we got to verse 4, what does the scripture say? And Yah looked out from the midst of the bush. So we're seeing the harmony, whereas the scripture identifies an angel, although it doesn't say of the Lord, it still identifies an angel, and so that angel is taking us right back to that same one that's in the midst of the bush to confirm that we're still dealing with Yah. Okay? Let's continue on and see if we get further confirmation now. I'm going to move it over a little bit, Exodus 3, verse 7. In the small little box now, that's what we're reading. We have Numbers 20 in the larger portion, but we're looking at Exodus 3 in the smaller box, so that's what we read. And Yah said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. What did it say in verse 16 said, when we cried unto Yah, he heard our voice. So Yah, that's in the midst of that bush, is saying in Exodus 3 to confirm what Numbers 20 is saying, that it was indeed Yah who heard the voices of their cries. Okay? Exodus 3, verse 7, or Numbers 20, verse 16, in the larger writing. Numbers 20, verse 16 said, when we cried unto Yah, unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel, and has brought us forth out of Egypt, and behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy borders. Exodus 3, verse 7 in the smaller box. And Yah said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know. Now, let me pull up here another scripture here, because I want you to see this now. Okay. Now, I'm going to pull I'm going to read verse 7 again. Okay? Verse 7 in a small box. Exodus 3, verse 7. And then I'm going, no, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to read verse 16. And then to the left of the screen, I'm going to read verse 7. Because you have verse 7 here as a reference. And I'm going to also connect verse 8. Okay? Numbers 20, verse 16 said, when we cried unto Yah, he heard our voice and sent an angel. We want to find out who is this angel that was sent. But we have to let the scripture interpret itself. We can't come to our own reason. We have to let the scripture do it. And sent an angel and has brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. Now, verse 7 is a reference to this. So let's go to verse 7 of Exodus 3, to the left of the screen. And Yah said, I have seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry, to confirm Numbers 20, verse 16, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrow. Now, when you look at Numbers 20, verse 16, Numbers 20, verse 16, it says, Yah sent an angel, and the angel brought them out. Y'all see it? And has brought us out. Heard our voice, sent an angel, and has brought us forth out of Egypt. Look at who come down in verse 8. Same crying. You see crying here. And you see sent down now, right here. You see an angel. But when you see it in Exodus 3, verse 7, Yah says, I've come down to deliver. So as you see in Numbers 20, Moses saying an angel came and delivered us. Yah saying in Exodus 3, verse 8, I came down. I'm the same angel who is in the midst of the bush. I'm the angel of Yah that's in the midst of the bush. I have come down to deliver the people because I've heard their cry. So that's why I wanted to run the reference as far as that angel of what he said, angel of Yah, so that we are to pay attention from now on. Elder, I need you to help from this perspective. Sodom and Gomorrah again, when it talks about the two angels, because we know Yah is talking to Abram before that, and then it goes around the two angels. So find the two angels in Sodom and Gomorrah as it begins it, and then we'll show how to tell the difference in the wording to understand when an angel is an actual angel, or an angel is a talent that Yah is operating in. Okay? So.
Genesis 19:1.
Okay. Let's just pull up another scripture here. Genesis 19:1.
Then there's the end of 18, I think it was.
Okay. Okay. Genesis 19:1 says, there came two angels to Sodom at even. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. So this is clearly saying there are two angels that came. Okay? Now, when we go back, to 18, we got three scriptures up and then a reference here. And so when we look at 18, I want to find that verse where the two men went on. And Yah, and he stayed there with Yah 22. Okay. 22 says, and the men turned their faces from this and went toward Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before Yah. So Yah is one of the three men. Okay? Yah is one of the three men. And so when you go back into chapter 18, these two men here. Okay, the men turn their faces. These men are identified in verse 1 that there are two angels. There are two angels from Yah. They're the messengers of Yah. Yeah, they're messengers. But when you look at it, there are messengers and angels. We understand that these two are messengers of God that go on, and Yah stays back and talks to Abraham, our father Abraham, in chapter 18. Okay? And so it shows a difference in how these men operated, because as we pointed out in Genesis 19, is that it was Yah who destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. It wasn't those angels. Yah had destroyed it. Yah sent fire from fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed it. It wasn't those angels. So angels got Lot and his family out of there, those who were willing to come. Verse 24 says, then Yah rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. It came from Yah. Okay? Now, as we look at that, we'll go back now. So we'll see, as is mentioned here, that the angel was sent and brought out our nation. Yah came down to deliver. Okay? Now, 14 is another connection to this angel. Exodus 14. Yeah, Exodus 14 says, and the angel of God. Notice this time it says an angel. Numbers 20, verse 16. Well, Numbers 14, verse 19, it says, and the angel of Yah, which went before the camp of Israel. So it's letting us know that it was Yah Almighty himself who was in that pillar. Okay? Who was in the pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. That was Yah moving with our nation. It's just that it calls him angel of Yah to show another facet of how he operates. Thus, Numbers 14, verse 19 said, the angel of Yah, which went before the camp of Israel in the small box, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and behind them. Notice the angel, the pillar is moving with the angel. For there's Yah. Okay? Read it again. And the angel of Yah, which went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Because Yah is in that cloud. He's in that pillar. Every time when he came down on that mount, the scriptures say he was in a cloud, and the cloud covered the mount. Mount Sinai. What you think? Hey, y'all wonder why all of a sudden it's sunny and nice outside, and then the wind get crazy, and the thunder and the lightning, the thunder and get the rumbling, and the lightning get the flashes, and you see this dark pillar of a cloud that seems to come from nowhere, and the weatherman is dumbfounded because he's saying, man, we didn't even see no sign. It wasn't even raining in the forecast. We've had more encounters with Yah than what we realize. What did the prophet say? Prophet Elijah, when he fled from Jezebel, he said, that was a great earthquake. But Yah was not in the earthquake. He said in other words, he was looking for instructions from Yah. There was a great earthquake, and I think it was a strong wind, I believe. That's what it said. Yah was not in the wind. But then there was a still small voice, and it said the prophet covered his face. Because he knew now Yah had manifested. So I put to record for you to understand that when you see large pillars of a cloud, that's not shaped like any cloud you've ever seen before. And you see everything that's around that cloud, thunder and rumblings and lightning, then say hello to your Almighty, who has decided to get a little bit closer to the earth than what folk realize. Because anytime Yah shows up, nature recognizes. And nature itself gets chaotic. That's why a lot of times you have strong wind, thundering, and lightning, and all that, and you be sitting up and saying, man, but it's not even raining. Look at that cloud. Well, your Almighty may have showed up just to get a little bit closer to the sea. Okay? So, as we look at, again, Exodus 14, verse 19, says, the angel of Yah, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. Exodus 23, so this is all Exodus 23, verse 20 says, behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Okay? You know y'all speak in the third person a lot of times. I said, did you know that y'all speak in the third person a lot of times? A lot of times, y'all say, I'm just kind of using for an example, your God will go before you. Well, if you don't understand who the Almighty is, then you'll think that he's giving you a decree that there's a God that's going before you like he's sending one. But he's speaking from a third-person perspective by saying your God is going before you and letting you know that he's the one that's going before you. So when you start to look at these scriptures and it's saying an angel, I will send an angel before thee, it's like he's speaking to a third-person instead of just saying, I'm going to go before you. But because I'm going in the fashion that I'm going in, then I am going as the angel of the Almighty, the messenger, the sign, the method by which you encourage to keep going. Because every time you get a little bit scared, you can look up at the message. It's before you. Okay. Exodus 33 verse 2 says, I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive. Okay? And I will drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Okay? Okay? I want to go to this particular passage now. It may be it may be in this, but I feel led to go there now. Chapter 10, verse 1. Because I want us to understand how an actual angel moves and then how Yah moves. Okay? So we understand. So we read the angel of Yah, then we stay within the context of meaning. We see what's going on around those words. And when you start to see, I am, Ella, you said something that was really important. You said when an angel is speaking for Yah, there are certain words that he said. And I'm trying to remember one of the examples that you used. I believe you said it like on the order of I'm trying to remember how you put it. If you remember, just expound on it. If not, that's okay.
Okay. I do remember saying
it. Right. I'm just trying to remember exactly how you put it. Okay, so we'll go to Daniel 10, verse 1. You just do that as we're going with it. Daniel 10, verse 1 says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of vision. In those days, Daniel was mourning 3-4 weeks. So he understood, but before he got an understanding, he was mourning. Okay, when you look at the word mourning, sabal, it means to bewail, lament. He was mourning for 3-4 weeks, 21 days. He said, "I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. We were a nation who drank wine." And I ain't talking about that kind that doesn't have alcohol in it. It was wine, fermented wine, and so it is what it is. Intoxication. So it wasn't that when Christians try to get religious, they said, no, that ain't the kind of wine that they drank. No, our nation was drink wine. As you see it, it says wine as fermented. Intoxication. Daniel drank wine. So did our Savior, Yahushua, Jesus, drank wine. Okay? Now, so, and when Christ turned that water into wine, it was intoxication wine. It wasn't no berries and fruit, and all that kind of stuff. It was drunk wine. Wine is get drunk. Okay? That's why the man went on and said, man, they used to bring out the worst kind once you get a little bit intoxicated. But you say the best for last. Because once a man gets drunk, his taste buds ain't all together then, so they give him the bad stuff at the end. He said, but you say the best for last. Okay? Now, he says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man stood clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphaz. His body was like a beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamp of fire, and his arms and his feet like in the color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon me, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Now he said, I'm sent. Okay? Now, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst sit thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, that thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. What does the word withstood mean? Verse 13. Word withstood. The word withstood means to stand, to abide, to appoint, to arise, to cease. Okay? To stay. So he said, this angel, this, let me go back up. He says, I am come for thy word, but he said he sent, okay? Okay, now I am sent, verse 11, I now sent, thee am I now sent. Then as you look at verse 2, he said, verse 12, he says, I come for thy words. Come to bring you understanding. You're asking for understanding. Verse 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, what is the prince of the kingdom of Persia? When you look at the prince, it says of any rank, class, ruler, steward. So this is a prince. Okay? Now, as we continue to move on, it says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which stood me, called me to stay, withstood me 21 days, below Michael, one of the chief princes. So this prince of the kingdom of Persia is identified from a same perspective as Michael, who is one of the princes. Okay? So it says, but the prince of the king, so that is letting you know that there is a ranking prince that is from a same perspective as Michael, who is one of the chief princes. Okay? Came to help me. So Michael is helping whoever this man is that shows up, whose eyes were like flame of fire, his arm and his feet like color polished brass, his voice is many multitudes. Whoever Michael is, he helps this man. Behold a certain man, Michael helps this man. This man is coming to get the words of Daniel now. So he says now, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. So this withstood, meaning that he's being hindered. There's something going on. So he says to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. In other words, something was going on with this man, whoever this man is. Verse 9, 8, 9, 10, 11. Okay, so he says now, withstood me. He said, now I am come. Michael helps him. He says, now I've come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter day. For yet the visions for many days. Well, we understand what that vision is because it's referring to what happened to us in these last days. Okay? Now, notice what he says at the end. As we said at the end, it says, then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? Ask him a question. Do you know where I came? Then he said, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight. So it lets you know there's a fight going on. Fight with the prince of Persia. So whoever Micah is encountering to keep him from hindering this particular man, he's going back to fight with this prince of Persia. He said, I've come to thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. So it gives us an understanding that there is fighting that goes on. And when this fighting takes place with these princes that over kingdom, Persia was a kingdom. When Persia was brought down, then Grecia arose. So now we understand the scripture where it said, whatever you find in heaven shall be found on earth. Whatever you loose on heaven, in heaven shall be loose in earth. Loose on earth. So there are things that take place in the heavens. So this man, this being was saying, I need to go back where Michael is to fight against the prince of Persia so that he can be defeated, so that now the prince of Grecia can come. So when you see these princes or principalities come to full power, then you see nations rise. So what is it saying to us? There are signs pointing to we as a nation, the way we're headed, we're headed toward destruction as a nation, I hate to say. But before that takes place, there's going to be something that's going to take place in the heavenly realm in order to deal with what's going on in the earth realm, so to speak. And when you see things happen from that perspective, then you know that it's happening up there. Okay? So it's vitally important for us to understand these things. Okay? Now, verse 20 says, then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And I'll stop right there. To show us that there is a difference, notice, what did this guy say? He said, I was hindered 21 days. Well, we know this being cannot be Yah, because can't nothing stop the Almighty. So we know without a doubt that what's going on in Daniel 10 is not, this man is not Yah himself. This man is in some form of relationship from a perspective of Michael. And Michael, as you continue to read, we understand who Michael is, okay? So we know that this man in Daniel 10 is not Yah, because there is no prince of Persia going to be able to handle Yah. Okay? So this being, or this man that showed up, that face showed as the, you know, that, you know, his face, you know, I'm trying to see where it shows it there. Where his face was his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamp of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass. We know that this is some type of man or something that resembles a man, but at the same time we know it's not Almighty Yah, because that prince of Persia hears him over the hell of him. Prince stop Yah or whatever this ranking principality will stop the Almighty, Yah. So it lets you know this was another, these are Michael and this man, other man is something else. Okay? So let's look at Michael and then we'll get ready to close here. So when you look at Michael, it says, it means who is like Yah, Michael or Mikael, the name of an archangel and of nine Israelites. So this identifies who this is, an angel. Okay, Michael is the angel, and so our impression gives you, and we'll find out if the scripture will allow us to do so. All scriptures give that this other man here is Gabriel. He gives all impression, but, you know, take that with a grain of salt. We just know it was someone who was representing the kingdom of the Most High Yah who had came to deliver Daniel that message. Okay? Any questions coming? Okay. Is there any questions coming? We good? Okay. We'll go ahead and stop here. Father, I just bless your name on today, and we thank you for bringing us into another facet of understanding. We thank you for leading and guiding us in all truth. In the name of Yehoshua, we do pray. Amen.